Something in the sky came to my mind when the world's flag, and flag of all its kings, fell silent in its beak, for me to find that all its shining points, those living things, shone still more brightly, and a river flowed of songs I cannot now recall. Sweet love, mantled in smiles, how brilliantly you showed yourself in those flutes as they soared above, filled with the breath of holy thoughts that glowed. After the lucid, precious gems with which the sixth realm was bejeweled had chimed their last, I seemed to hear a mountain streamlet switch its murmuring path from rock to rock, not fast, but falling softly, proving full the source it came from high up. And as sound takes form at the lute's frets, and as breath shapes its force at the pipe's vent, so rising through the swarm of lights that made the neck, the murmur welled as if the throat were hollow. I was kept waiting no longer. Clear words were expelled, awaited words. Out of the beak they swept, these words that I longed for and now wrote down. That part with which a mortal eagle sees and turn towards the sun without a frown, watch now in me. From fires of all degrees my shape is made, and those that make the eye that sparkles in my head outrank the rest. The one the shining pupil is made by is he who brought the ark home like a guest, while always singing of the Holy Ghost. Now David knows the burden of that song, as he conceived it was no idle boast, because the recompense is rich and long for his wise counsel. Of the five who make my eyebrows arch, the nearest to my beak is Trajan, who joined in the widow's wake for her son. Now he knows how life is bleak without Christ, for he's seen the difference, having been pagan once and later saved. Next on the upward curve of eminence above my eye, Hezekiah shines, who craved more time, and his repentance helped him there, for what he asked Isaiah he obtained, a long life, and now life beyond compare. And next comes Constantine, the one that reigned in Rome, and who meant well by moving east and turning Greek with me and all the laws, and one good thing came out of it at least. There was no harm for him, although his cause that made the Pope a king only increased the chaos in the world. His crop we reap. William you see next on the downward curve, from whom now Sicily and Naples weep, as living Charles and Frederick show they serve themselves. But how the power of love runs deep up here for the just king is proved to us by his face spilling fire. Who would have guessed in the erring world below that Ripheus of Troy would be the fifth light in this crest? The sea of grace the world finds a deep thing he sees through now, though not down the whole way. Just as the soaring lark at first will sing, and then fall silent, by its latest play of sweetness satisfied, that image seemed to me. It was the imprint of the will of the eternal pleasure, which is deemed that all which was and is and will be still might be. As glass is to its colored coat I was to my perplexity, and yet my question would not wait to play a note, but weight and pressure forced it from the set of my lips. How can these things be? I said. And then I saw a sudden festival of lights, and then the bright eye in its head flashed still more, as the sign replied, lest all my stunned suspense continue. If you think these things are true because I say them, yet you can't see how they can be, so they sink from sight although believed, then all you get from anything is just its name. The pith of that thing is withheld from you, unless it's all set out for you to conjure with. For heaven's kingdom suffers, and will bless violence, a vivid love, and hope on fire, which conquer the divine will not as men may conquer men, but out of its desire thus to be conquered, and because its plan is conquest through its goodness. Yes, the first and fifth stars of my eyebrow puzzle you to see the realm of angels thus imbursed. But here and now you should revise your view that they were unbelievers when they left their bodies. They were Christians of firm faith, one that the dear feet would be nailed and cleft, the other that they were. Trajan, a wraith, came out of hell to find his bones again, and since none there are saved by willing good, this was the prize for that saint among men, Pope Gregory, whose prayers were understood and helped by God, so that one damned might then be raised to where his will could be so moved. This glorious soul, returned thus to the flesh for a short time, believed in him that proved able to intercede. Love flared afresh from that belief. The emperor lived to face his next death, and came here to us. And now regard the Trojan, saved by God's good grace, whose fountain goes so deep no one knows how to see down to its wellspring, its first place. And yet he came to love the right, his eyes opened by God from grace to grace to our future redemption. Truth that never dies, he found, and so believing in its power, he spurned the stench of paganism from that day, scolding the people in its spell for their perversity. His baptism, 1,000 years too soon? That task befell 3 ladies you saw near the gospel car at its right wheel. Faith, hope, and love. Your route, predestination, how it stands so far from that gaze, gaze no matter how acute, which sees in parts but can't see how they are united in the first cause. Mortals, be restrained in judging. We who see God know not all of the elect as yet. And we find the lack sweet, our good perfected so by His. We will what God wills, willingly. Thus from the image I got medicine sweetly to clear the shortness of my view, and as a good guitarist will bring in the notes of trembling strings to make more true the singer's melody, whereby the song grows sweeter still, so while it spoke, the paired exalted lights kept time and played along. Like eyes that blinked together and then flared, their little flames moved by the words they shared. Canto 21. Already with my eyes fixed on her face again, and with my eyes, my mind, which had no thoughts of any other place, my lady did not smile, but, to be kind, she said, "Were I to smile, you would become like Semele, when she was turned to ash by Jupiter, her lover, in his sum of splendor unadorned. It would be rash, my beauty, which you've seen increase the higher we climb together on the lofty stairs of this eternal palace, is a fire so brilliant that the strength your body bears would be, if mine were not restrained, a bough split by a thunderbolt. Here we arise to Saturn, 7th splendor, which is now close under Leo's burning breast, a guise in which the planet sends down mingled rays with extra powers. So now, behind your eyes, let your mind make them mirrors for the blaze of that shape which will now appear to you." Great was the joy I took from seeing her. But when she made me look at something new, the joy was greater still. I could defer to her desires, and could remember, too, I had beheld her, so the scale pans were poised in the balance. Bearing the great name of that chief who killed off all wickedness in Crete, and gave the golden age its fame, the crystal Saturn ringed the world. No less than gold in sunlight flashed a ladder there. Rising so far, its top rungs fled my sight. Descending it were splendors past compare, and so past counting I thought every light in heaven had been poured out through the air. And as the jackdaws, when they rise at dawn together, by their natural habits sent to warm cold feathers, split up with some drawn away not to return from where they went, and some turn back to where they started from, and some stay wheeling, so it seemed to me such movements took place in the maelstrom of lights arriving scintillatingly on any given step. The one that paused closest to us became so bright I said in my mind, "I see well what love has caused your signal." But from her by whom I'm led to speak or else keep silent, there came not a word, so that against my will I made no query. She, aware the cat had got my tongue because I'd seen one who displayed the signs of seeing everything, spoke thus, "Now satisfy your keen desire." And I'm far from being meritorious enough to hear your answer, but I'll try, for her sake who grants me the leave to ask the question, to be worthy in the way I frame it. Let due reverence be my task. Blessed living soul, still hidden in the spray of light which is your happiness, what brings you near me, and how it is in this wheel? Heaven's sweet symphony no longer sings, which filled the air with such divine appeal in all the wheels below. The way you hear, he said, is like the way you see, earthbound. If you, a mortal, were touched by the sheer perfection of the music, then the sound would do to you what one look at a smile from Beatrice would. Therefore I have come down the sacred staircase for a little while, and just this far, still mantled in my gown of light, to welcome you, with naught but speech. Nor was it greater love that sped me on, for just such love and more is felt by each and all of those above me. Look upon their flames. But the high charity which makes us prompt in service of the council's will, that makes the world and freely gives and takes, as you can see. This, while I looked my fill. I see indeed, I said, my sacred lamp. I see how love, set free, serves in this court for the fulfillment and the final stamp of the eternal providence. One thought, however, still confounds me. Why you? How were you cut out to get this labor done from all your fellows? I can see it now, the speed with which, before I'd said those last words of my speech, the light began to spin, its axis the smooth axle of a fast mill-wheel. And then the love that was within replied, "Focused on me, a light divine pierces this glow in which I am encased. Its virtue, joined to what I may call mine, a vision, raises me from where I'm placed, so far above myself that the supreme essence I see from where it emanates. From this the joy that forms my fiery beam, since to my sight, by perfect estimates of clear view, I make that of my own flame. But not a soul in heaven, even the most alight, no seraph of whatever name, whose eye, of all the highest heavenly host, is closest fixed on God, will satisfy your question. What you ask is far removed in those high depths of the abysmal sky where the eternal ordinance has proved itself cut off from every vision which had been created. In the mortal world, when you return, make your recounting rich with this news, so men may no more be hurled into futility by setting foot on such a path to such an end. The mind which shines here smokes on earth, and therefore put your thoughts to just how down there it may find the means by which it ever could achieve that which it can't appear. Checked by his words that scorned a subject it was time to leave, I only asked him who he was. The birds can't soar to where I came from. Thunder claps below. Quite near your birthplace, plumb between the shores of Italy, a ridgeline caps the range with crags sharp as you've ever seen. That's Catria. There in the Apennines, beneath the ridge, a hermitage once was to worship. In all true forms and designs, entirely given, praise its only cause. So he began again for the third time. Then more. There I became, seeing the Lord so constant, that with thoughts on the sublime, I passed through heat and frost, my bed and board poor stuff, thin scraps eked out with oil of olives. Yet I was content. The yield of prayer to heaven from that spot of soil, a cloister doing duty for a field, one ached for harvest. But now it lies waste. Soon everyone will know. My name when there was Peter Damian, and when displaced and made a cardinal, shame and despair led me to give myself another style. Peter the Sinner, for my lasting care was purity, and power made it vile. Corruption ruled us, even as we reigned on our high chairs, low down and out of touch with those dear peaks which in my mind remained the fortress of frugality. Not much of mortal life was left to me when they, there in Ravenna, dragged me to that hat which gets passed on in a progressive way from bad to worse. By now we're used to that. There was a time when Peter and Paul both were hard and barefoot, eating humble food at ordinary inns and nothing loath. But modern shepherds find such rigor crude. A pope now needs a man each side to prop him up, and one before to clear his trail, with one behind his awesome bulk to stop his train from dragging. If his legs should fail to hold him up, he rides. His cloak will flop around two beasts with one skin. Patience! Can you stand all this? And at his cry I saw more little flames come down as they began, wheeling from step to step, and they were more lovely with every spin. They swarmed around his light and stopped, and then they cried aloud, so loudly that down there on our home ground nothing could equal it, a shouting cloud of clear lights, and I couldn't understand. By such sweet thunder, deafened and unmanned. Canto 22. Still stunned, I turned back to my guide, just as a child, when scared, will run back to the place where confidence resides. The voice that has the gift of reassurance, the one face of comfort for a pale and breathless boy, his mother. She said, "How can you not tell you are in holy heaven? All the joy, all that is done here comes from the true well of zeal. And so you've seen the truth appear of how that song and my smile would have stirred your brains, because the truth was in that cry which so much moved you. And if you had heard and understood the prayers within it, why, you'd know already how the prelates will suffer a fate you'll see before you die. Up here God's vengeful sword does not fulfill its task too early or too late, except as it might seem to him who with desire or fear awaits the blow the promise kept. But turn now to the others in the choir that raised the shout, and if you aim your gaze, as I say, countless spirits you will see." I did her bidding, and I saw the rays, criss-crossing of a multiplicity of little spheres, 100 of them, all made still more beautiful by their shared beams, a light-stream interplay, a mirror hall for fireflies. I stood as one who deems the prick of wishing must be checked, for fear he'll seem presumptuous if he should pose a question. So it was that there drew near the largest and most lustrous of all those shivering pearls, intent that I should hear my inner question answered. Then the light unfolded its own nature from within. "If you could only share my power of sight, you'd see the love we burn in, and begin to say what's on your mind, but since you might be slowed down on your high path if you wait, I'll answer now the thought you closely guard. The mountain where Cassino has its gate was once thronged on its summit high and hard, by people both deluded and deceived, and I was first to bring the name up there of him who brought to earth to be believed the truth that sublimates us. And so fair a grace shone down upon me that I drew the nearby towns away from their old cult of worshipping Apollo as the true and only god, in which they would exult as once the whole world did. These other flames were all contemplatives, fired by that heat that brings forth holy flowers and fruit. Their names? Macarius, and all my brothers. Meet the ones who kept their feet and steadfast hearts within the cloister." I to him, "You've shown affection in your speech, and all the arts of kindness, and your fires reflect your tone. My confidence expands just as the sun unfolds the rose into its fullest bloom. And so I ask you, if it may be done to grant the gift, and I do not assume too much in asking, that I may for one moment see you with face unveiled." And he, "Brother, your high desire shall be fulfilled above in the last sphere. For you and me, the end point of all wishes, all are stilled our long desires. They're perfect, ripe, and whole. Up there alone each part is what it was, always, for that place turns around no pole. It's not in space. You see, then, by what cause our ladder going up to it must climb out of your sight. Jacob the patriarch saw to the hidden top in the sublime, and saw it packed with angels. That high mark none lifts a foot to reach now, and my rule merely waste paper. Those walls that were once an abbey are now thieves' dens. A whole school of cowls are sacks of spoiled grain. Nothing affronts God's pleasure, even usury at its worst, so much as when the monks skim from the flow of income from the faithful. Such a thirst turns fruit to folly. Surely they must know all the church has belongs to those who seek in God's name, not for kin or cronies. So soft is the flesh of mortals, and so weak, a good beginning made below does not last from the oak's birth to the first acorn. No silver and no gold had Peter got when he began his order. Mine was born with prayer and fasting. Francis founded his with mere humility. And if you look at what each was, and then at what it is, where it has strayed from its first open book, you'll see white turning dark. Nevertheless, the Red Sea gaped, and Jordan was rolled back by God's will to annul the helplessness of Israel's children on the long, hard track that led to safety. Those were strange events down there. But here such succors everywhere, and nothing marvelous, common, in a sense. Having thus spoken, Benedict left us there, withdrawing to his company, which drew together, pressing close. Then they were swept quickly above, as if a whirlwind blew. With just a sign, my dear sweet lady kept me climbing after them, so much her force conquered my nature, and here in the world, where natural law will always take its course to govern how we climb, none has been hurled aloft as I was, with so swift a flight. Reader, as I hope one day to return to that pure triumph for which, in the night, I beat my breast until my knuckles burn with sorrow for my sins, you could not snatch the finger from the fire that you pushed in more quickly than the sign that tries to catch the bull, which is the twins, wherein begin learning and intellect, was there before my eyes, and then around me. Stars in flame with glory, light filled to its pregnant core with power that drives what I have to mine aim of genius. With you the sun each May arises, father of each mortal born, and so sets. Twins it was when you held sway that I first tasted the sweet Tuscan dawn, and later on, when I was granted grace to enter the high wheel that bears you round, your region was my designated place. To you my soul now utters the profound sigh of devotion. May the strength be mine to take the big step that I now must face of being drawn towards itself. The sign could not be more propitious. You're so near to final blessedness, Beatrice began, that you must have your eyes both keen and clear, and so before you go, and now you can, yet further into it, look down and see how much already of the universe is underneath your feet, put there by me, so that your heart be ready to disperse, when you meet the host triumphant finally, your full joy, as it comes rejoicing through this rounded ether. With my sight I went back down through all the seven spheres anew, and saw the globe, the start of my ascent, and smiled at its pipsqueak significance. Whoever has his mind on other things can be called just. It's scarcely worth a glance. I call his judgment best, who never clings to its importance, rating it the least of realms. I saw the moon's clean other side, Diana with her lovely glow increased, being without the shadow from which I'd believed her once to be both rare and dense. I saw the sun of Hyperion, in full flame, unrelentingly intense, and Maya's daughter Mercury sailed on. And Venus, too, Dione's daughter, moved close to the sun. Their circles copied his. All of the spheres were there. I saw it proved from this that Jupiter's condition is forever to create a tempered blend. The heat of his son Mars, mixed with the cold of Saturn, still his father. Without end, the seven change position as they hold their places. I could see this, and their size and speed, and all their distances between each other. And this paltry world we prize, this little threshing floor where we have been always so fierce, was made plain from its hills to river mouths, while I was wheeling there with those eternal twins. They turned like mills, and I with them, the universe laid bare. And then my eyes met hers, my lady fair. Canto 23. Just as the bird that in the branches sings, branches she loves, the source of her delight, the nest of her sweet brood with flightless wings, where she has sat in vigil through the night that hides things from us, stays put till time brings the moment, blessed if only for their sake, when on the open spray she'll once more see their longed-for looks and find the food to make them grow, the work she welcomes heartily, singing, with all her wishes wide awake, until dawn breaks. Just so my lady stood, erect, alert, and turned towards that part, the zenith, where the sun slows. Thus I could see the suspense and longing in her heart, and I became as one moved by desire, hope satisfied. But the interval was short between expectancy and the first fire that set the sky alight beyond all thought. First clear, then bright, then blazing. Beatrice said, "Behold the hosts of Christ in triumph. Hail the blessed, the fruit that has been harvested from all the wheeling spheres which never fail to give the striving soul its just reward." It seemed to me her face was all in flame, her eyes too full of gladness to afford my words the chance to give her joy a name. As in clear nights that show us the full moon, Diana smiles among the nymphs that dance forever, always decking, late and soon, the sky through all its depths, just so my glance was drawn beyond a thousand lamps to meet a sun which kindled all of them the way ours does, with every pinpoint that might meet our eyes when we look up at the display of stars, and streaming through the living light, the vital substance which is Christ was more than my eyes, for it was so very bright, could bear. Ah, Beatrice, more now than before, my dear sweet guide! What overwhelms you now, she said, is power beyond all defense. Here is the might and wisdom that knew how to open up the roads through the immense distance dividing heaven from the earth, an age-old dream. As fire breaks from a cloud, swelling until it seeks a path for birth, and falls towards the ground, although endowed not with that nature, my mind, at that feast grown greater, left itself. And what became of it, it can't recall now in the least. "Open your eyes, and see me not in name, but as I am," she said. "You have gained the strength from what you've seen to bear my smile." As he, awaking from a dream, may seek at length in vain to recollect it, so with me, hearing this invitation. All the past is in a book, and how my thanks were great can never now, from this day to the last, be blotted out. Such was my blessed state, if all the tongues that Polyhymnia and her muse sisters fed with milk so sweet should sound to aid me now, I would by far, a thousandfold, fall short of means to meet the truth in singing of the holy smile, and how that smile lit up the holy face, and so to picture heaven in fit style, this sacred poem, as one leaps the place that breaks one's path, must cease a little while to match the facts. But he who gives due heed to this theme's weight, the human shoulder frail that's burdened with it like a trembling reed, will blame me less if I appear to fail. No easy passage for a little bark. This is a sea a daring prow must cleave, steered by a pilot who would make his mark with no thought for his comfort, no reprieve. "Why does my face beguile you?" Beatrice said. "So much you do not turn towards the fair garden that flowers in the sun rays shed by Christ. You'll find his mother Mary there, the sacred rose, the holy word made flesh. There are the lilies, the apostles who gave out the fragrance that made sweet and fresh the good path? This is what you're coming to." She spoke, and I, so keen for her advice, struggled to fix my eyelids on the task, weak though they were. But it was worth the price. As I once saw a field of flowers bask in sunlight streaming through a broken cloud, saw them with shaded eyes, so now I saw whole hosts of splendor, crowd on sainted crowd, flash in the brilliant light that seemed to pour from on high, though I couldn't see its source. Ah, gracious might that sets your stamp upon them all, you climbed to grant scope by your force to eyes that had no strength for you. As on the very greatest of those fires I gazed, Mary, I mean, the name of that fair flower which I invoke each morning to be praised, and in the evening, too, took all the power of my mind to behold it as it blazed, and when I pictured the intense extent and quality of that star in my eyes, the star surpassing all those who were sent to be up there, as she in worldly guise surpassed all those below, I saw a brand descend the sky, and once it had come down, draw circles which I came to understand as being in the likeness of a crown spun for her lovely head. Down here below, whatever melody, though it be sweet enough to draw the soul into its flow, and drown there with all earthly dreams complete, would seem, compared to that lyre's perfect sound, like thunder in the clouds. But why compare? This was the melody with which was crowned the sapphire that made sapphire all the air, the bright blue sky. "I spin angelic love around the joy supreme," sang Gabriel, "which breathes from that womb seeded from above, that sheltered what we all desired so well, both men and angels. And this I will do, Lady of Heaven, till you reach your Son, ascending in his path until you too are in the highest sphere. This will be done." And so the circling song came to a close, and all the other lights sang out as one the name of Mary. Then, as she arose, the royal cloak, the primum mobile, the sphere that burns the most of any sphere that spins around the world, was far away, so far its inner rim did not appear to my sight even yet, which is to say, the breath of God and his works, far from near, seemed nowhere, so I could not follow her with my eyes as she soared towards the seed. Her light-crowned flame had left us where we were. Just as an infant, having slaked its need for milk, still stretches out its little arms to mother, while its inner impulse flares to outward flame in its beseeching palms, so these white radiant beings reached above themselves with all their fire, and it was plain to me how each one felt the deepest love for Mary, as they sang the sweet refrain, "Regina Coeli, Queen of Heaven." So sweet was their song, that it is with me still, as always. Ah, how great the goodly store in these rich gatherers! They had the will to sow the seed when they were here before. And there they live in all the wealth they earned, rejoicing in it, everything they won with tears in their long exile, where they spurned the gold of Babylon. Under the sun of God and Mary, Peter reigns in all the triumph of his victory. The school of all the saints whose names we might recall from either testament approves his rule, of which the keys to glory are the sign. His office is eternal and divine. Canto 24. Then Beatrice said, "O fellowship elect to that great supper of the blessed Lamb, who feeds you so that no desire is checked but always satisfied, know that I am in charge of this man, who by God's grace has foretaste of that which from your table falls before the fatal time appointed as his day of death. Give heed to how he calls in hunger without measure. Give him due, if only a few drops, you that may drink deep from the fountain he aspires to, that flow of which he cannot cease to think." And then I saw the happy spirits flock in circles on fixed poles, flaring as bright as comets, and as wheels inside a clock revolve, so that it seems the first wheel might be stock still, while the last wheel seems to fly. Just so these choirs at different speeds, some slow, some quick, express the same resolve that I should gauge the wealth that they had put on show. And from the richest one I saw shoot out a fire so joyful that none other shone more brightly, and it wheeled three times about my Beatrice with a song, I can't go on. Divine beyond what my words can evoke, and so my pen lifts, all its powers gone, and I write nothing suitable. This cloak had folds too subtle for my pigments. Bold colors cannot paint shades that lie within the indentations fine-draped cloth may hold. And this flame's plain song was no less rich in its intricacy. The song's words went so. My holy sister has prayed to us so piously. It's by the melting glow of your affection you detach me thus from that fair circle. She then, O eternal light of the great soul, to whom our Lord entrusted the twin holy keys, which he brought down to give us the full bloom of all this glad amazement, may it please you now to test this man, with points both light and grave, as you see fit, pertaining to the faith by which you walked at your full height upon the water. Whether his love is true, and whether his hopes and his beliefs are right, these outcomes have all been foretold by you. There where all things are seen depicted. Yet, since in this kingdom citizens are made by the true faith, let's try not to forget the higher justice stands to be betrayed, should he not speak of this faith which will be, by his words, glorified. In the same way, the bachelor, when seeking a degree by viva voce, guards what he will say until the master puts the question he will argue but not settle. So I armed myself with all my reasons while she spoke, to be prepared, and therefore less alarmed by such a questioner, and not to choke through awe of his profession. Christian, speak. Declare yourself, and tell me what faith is. At this I lifted up my brow to seek the light which breathed these sudden words of his, then turned to Beatrice, who quickly signed to me with one look that I should present the waters of my spring. May I now find, I said, the proper words of argument to fit my thoughts by that same grace that grants me leave to make confession to the chief centurion, flag-bearer and first lance. I went on. As that pen of true belief held by your dearest saintly brother Paul, he who helped you in choosing the right track for Rome, once wrote, Faith is the stuff of all things hoped for, and of all things that we lack the sight of is the evidence. And this I take to be its essence. Then I heard, You are correct in your analysis if you grasp why Paul placed faith, the key word, first among actual things and only next among the arguments. And I, the deep occurrences, to me made a clear text appear, to eyes below so tightly keep their secrets that belief alone suggests they might exist. On that high hope is based, which therefore in the scripture which attests to it takes substance. As we find it placed in testaments both old and new, from those we take belief, and from belief we must then reason, seeing no more. So I close by saying that faith holds, in sacred trust, the character of evidence. Well done, I heard. If all the doctrine there below were understood so well by everyone concerned, the sophists, proud of what they know or think they know, would have less elbow room for empty cleverness. Thus breathed the flame of kindled love. Then more. We can assume we have well weighed the coin that bears the name of faith, whose alloy, too, we have assayed. Now tell me if you have it in your purse. And I have indeed, and it's high grade, so bright and round that I, too, can be terse. It's fresh out of the mint. And from the heart of that deep shining light came this jewel, precious with every value in each part. How did it get to you? Give me the rule. And I, The rain the Holy Spirit pours in floods from those twin parchments, old and new. It forms a syllogism which implores me always to believe, and so I do, since every other demonstration weighs as nothing beside that one. He then, why do you hold what the old and new books say for holy word that you cannot deny settles all arguments? I, for the way the works that followed proved it to be fact. The miracles, which nature could not make with heated iron or struck anvil, backed by such great things it could be no mistake. And he, now tell me how you are assured these works occurred. Surely the very thing that must be proved is all that can afford a proof for them. I said, to this I bring the words of Augustine, who said the world needed no miracle for it to be one to Christ's way, and from the fact unfurled the greatest miracle we'll ever see, such that all others put together yield less than 100th part of it. For you, when you were poor and fasting, took the field to sow the good vine, now degraded to a thorn. But still with you the pact was sealed. The written promise was proved true. That said, the high and holy court through every sphere rang with the song that they sing overhead. We praise you, God. And then the baron, here I use the earthly title, who had brought me thus from branch to branch in my defense of how my deepest faith had formed my thought, began again. God's grace, which, in a sense, is in love with your mind, has until now opened your lips in ways that I endorse. But finally we reach the highest bough of this tree, the completion of the course. What is it you believe? And tell me how it came from you. Where from? And I replied, O Holy Father, you that outstripped John, whose young feet got there first, to go inside the sepulchre, because he waved you on, you being senior, you ask the form, the essence of my willing faith. As well, you ask the source of it. Then I grew warm to that theme. I've a simple truth to tell. In one sole and eternal God I place all my belief, the God who reigns unmoved, yet moving all of heaven with the grace of his love and desire. The fact is proved by physical and metaphysical proofs I possess, but also by the rain of truth that never falters in its fall, sent down to us as spring showers to the grain, through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, the Gospels, and through you, the ones that wrote the vital extra texts. His burning arms embraced you. You were holy. On a note less simple but essential, I believe in three eternal persons, and all these one essence, three in one that interweave oneness with threeness, so the whole agrees with singular and plural, is and are. Of this deep, sacred state of which I speak, the teaching of the gospel is by far the stamp that never stops. There you may seek the start and spark which broadens to a star shining within me. As a master hears his servant out, who has brought pleasant news, then when he's fallen silent, gladly nears the man and gives him the embrace we use with friends. So now the apostolic light, to which I'd spoken at his firm request, encircled me three times in joyful flight, because having survived the spoken test, I had no more to say, which pleased him best. Canto 25. If ever it should come to pass that my long sacred poem, to which heaven and earth for many years, twisting my life awry, have set their hand, should prove its proper worth, and overcome the cruelty that keeps me far from the fair sheepfold of my birth, where once I lay down as a new lamb sleeps, foe to the wolves that war upon it, then, clad in an older voice, a tougher fleece, I'll come back as a poet. Once again, before that font where infants never cease to come to be baptized, I, just as when I took that sacrament, will take the crown of laurel. There I came into the faith that makes souls known to God when he looks down, and now on that account the shining wraith of Peter runs a circle of renown around my brow. At this, a light moved near from that same circle, out of which had come the first fruit of the line Christ left us here to reign as Pope. My Lady, brimming some of gladness, said to me, "See, see, behold the baron for whose grave down there below, Galicia, is visited by bold and hardy pilgrims." As the dove will show, when it alights beside its mate, the love it holds, and each will bill and coo and go circling round the other, so above I saw two great and glorious princes wind around each other, while both praise the feast they shared up there. Their joy was unconfined, but when their ceremony of greeting ceased, they both stopped just before me. In such flames my sight turned blank. And smiling, Beatrice said, "Illustrious living soul, Reverend St. James, who wrote of how our royal chapel spread largesse below, make hope resound up here. You can, for you exemplified it, all those times when Jesus showed he held most dear the three of you. Sufficient to recall that evening in Gethsemane, when you and John and Peter were with him." Whereat the second fire said this, "Adjust your view upward. Stop looking at your shoes like that. Take confidence, for all who climb this high from mortal life are ripened by our rays." Thus reassured, to those hills in the sky, the two apostles, I addressed the gaze they had weighed down before. The second light went on. "Our emperor in his grace wills that you come before your fatal night to meet his noble cohorts face to face in the inner chamber, so that having seen the truth of this court, you will gain in force to spread abroad the one hope that can mean true love below, and is its only source." All the aforesaid being so, tell me what hope is, how it blossomed in your mind, and whence it came to you. But instantly, my Lady Beatrice, infinitely kind, who trained the feathers of my wings to soar so high, replied for me, "That's quickly done. The church in arms has no child with a store of hope like his. It's written in the sun that radiates through all our hosts. Therefore, he comes from Egypt to Jerusalem to see the way it looks before his war is finished. Two more points, and both of them you raised, not for your own enlightenment, but to find out how he will give report that it is dear to you, this heaven-sent virtue of hope. For him, one would have thought, will easily be met, nor need he fear to seem vainglorious. So, with God's grace, his only help, he'll speak, and you will hear his answers on these questions in each case." Encouraged thus, I, like a pupil who answers his master, eager and prepared to show he knows his subject through and through, said, "Hope. It is the expectation, spared from all uncertainty, devoid of doubt, of future glory. From the grace divine it springs, although that fact does not leave out the merit of good works. Hope was made mine like light from many stars, but it was first distilled in my heart by the singing King David. In holy numbers so well versed, our Lord of hosts appointed him to sing as sovereign cantor. His divine song goes, 'In you, let them have hope that know your name.' And this, in my faith, everybody knows. He made the rain for us. You did the same in your epistle. So I was fulfilled, to rain your rain on all." I saw the flame flash while I spoke, its living heart instilled with lightning, sudden and repeated. Then it breathed. "The love with which I still burn, for the virtue that stayed with me even when they put me to the sword, bids me breathe more to you who so delight in it. Now tell what hope has promised you." And I, "The new and ancient scriptures set forth very well the goal that all souls may look forward to that he befriends. And here, are we not there? Isaiah says that each in his own land will be twice clothed in soul and body. Where is that but here? We see on every hand this land is the sweet life, and if we care to read your brother John, he tells us of a white-robed multitude, the self-same sight made yet more definite." Then from above, as soon as I had finished, "That they might have hope in you," was heard, And all the choirs responded, and among them one bright light shone out. And if the crab contained such fires, winter would have a month without a night lit by that jewel. And as a maiden glad to bless the bride will rise and join the dance, not for the reputation to be had of lightness, but for honour, so my glance was caught by that great splendour which had grown more bright, as it approached the two that wheeled to that song, matching to its lilting theme their burning love. He joined them as they reeled, singing and dancing, and my lady gazed solely on them, a still and silent bride. This is the saint the pelican once raised up to his breast to drink blood. The pierced side of Christ is that bird's bosom. This is John, the one that was selected from the cross so Mary's motherhood might yet go on, with a new son to soothe her for her loss. So much my lady said, but never moved the focus of her gaze when she was done, a fixed intensity already proved sufficiently before she had begun. As one who strives to see, and strains his eyes until they lose the power of sight, the sun, when partly its light lives and partly dies, through incomplete eclipse, so while it spoke, had I become before that last fire. Why submit your vision to this dazzling stroke, looking for what is not here in the sky but in the earth, and is earth, and will stay, with all the other bodies, earth, until our number tallies on the final day with the eternal aim? Search as you will, only two lights, Christ and his mother, wear the double robe of soul and body still after ascending to the cloister. Bear that message when you go back to your world. And at these words the flaming circle fell silent, together with the sound that swirled and mingled, given out by that sweet well of threefold breath. The same way to avoid fatigue or danger, oars that till then struck the water will, the whistle once employed, all stop at once. I could have cursed my luck, when turning to the sight I so enjoyed. My lady, I saw nothing, though I stood beside her, there where all things should be good. Canto 26. While I was still in fear from my lost sight, the splendid flame which had extinguished it breathed some advice that kept me rapt. You might, until your eyes recover from the fit induced by seeing me, find recompense with speech. To start with, tell me of the aim your soul is set on. Be assured your sense of sight is just confused. That's not the same as being ruined, for your lady who guides you through paradise has in her look the power of the hand the Lord sent to the stricken Saul. One touch was all it took, the hand of Ananias. Aye, then. May healing come soon or late as pleases her, who brings it to the doors that were the way she entered with the fire. And those doors were my eyes, the fire, the one with which I burn always. The voice that saved me from my fear of sudden dazzle now spoke in its turn, thus prompting me to greet what I could hear with further speech. It's certain that you must sift with a finer sieve, and say who trained your bow to this mark. I said, here I trust the philosophic arguments ingrained in me on earth, and the authority sent down from here. It's fitting that such love should leave its imprint sharply edged on me, since good, just by the goodness it's made of, must kindle love as soon as it is known, and all the more good it contains. Towards that essence, then, in which alone such irresistible advantage reigns, that any good outside is just a glow spilled by its radiance, the mind is moved solely by love, and nothing else we know. Of anyone who sees the truth is proved on which this logic rests. This argument was set forth beyond all doubt, to my mind, by Aristotle. That was his intent, when he said that the heavens, where we find, of course, the angels of intelligence, were moved by primal love, or the first cause, to use his term. Just so, in congruence, the truthful author, God, who gave the laws to Moses, spoke when of himself he said, I'll make you see all goodness. And you, too, told me the same when, in your book, I read, it's there in chapter 1, of what was true from when the world was new, that it began as one word, a sublime announcement. More than any other forecast known to man, it told the world below what lay in store above, the holy mystery of this place. I heard. On grounds of human reason, then, and all authorities that match its pace, the highest of the loves instilled in men looks towards God. But are there other courts that draw you to him? Name me all the teeth with which this love that hauls you heavenwards bites you. The holy aim at work beneath these things Christ Eagle said was not concealed from me. Indeed, I marshaled from the start the thoughts I guessed he wished to be revealed. All things, I said, whose bite can draw the heart to God, are unified within the field of what joins them. The world and I exist. The death he bore that I might live, the hope of heaven, which the living facts insist, is shared by all believers. This whole scope of knowledge draws me safely from the sea of perverse love and brings me here to this, the shore of true love and its equity, the destination of a synthesis. The gardener eternal has bedecked his bowers with infinities of leaves. I love them all, for what makes them connect, the good he gives, the splendor it achieves. As I fell silent, a great wave of song flooded the heaven, and my lady sang the same sweet melody. She sang along with all the others, and the welkin rang to, "Holy, holy, holy," and as sleep is broken by a sharp light piercing through film after film, because a spirit deep within the sense of sight will take its cue to meet the impact, and the awakened one shrinks back from what he sees, so unaware is he, when the new vision has begun of what it means, until to help lay bare the truth of it, his judgment comes back. So the motes in my eyes were all chased away by Beatrice with her radiance, whose flow travelled 1,000 miles, and the array of lights was clear again, more than before. I asked her in amazement how it was the 3 lights there had been joined by one more. "These rays," she answered, "are sent out because the soul within, the first soul ever made by the first power, looks with love upon his maker. As a branch whose top is swayed by a gust of wind springs when the gust is gone, upright again by natural force, so I, while she was speaking, was at first amazed. Then once again my confidence was high, spurred by the need to speak with which I blazed. I said this, 'You, the one fruit-born full-grown in ripeness, and of the old father to all brides, each one of whom could be your own daughter or your son's wife, I beg of you to speak with me. I ask with all respect. You guess my wish. To have it sooner met, I do not say it.' Sometimes we detect a hidden animal by how its fret to move disturbs its wrappings. Light unchecked, this primal soul showed through its coverings how gladly it had come to gratify my silent wish. It breathed the following things: 'Without your saying so, I can descry your wish more clearly than your own sight brings your utmost certainties to mind, for I see it through God, the truthful mirror which reflects all else, though not reflected by a single thing that serves to make it rich. You want to hear how much time I have shared with God, since he first put me in this place your lady brought you to, so well prepared to see its splendor by a steep staircase. You want to know how long my eyes were bared to its delight, and also the real spur of God's great wrath. What was it? The first sin? What language did I shape and use? These were your thoughts, my son. Hear me as I begin to answer them. The tasting of the tree was not, alone, the cause of my exile for so long. No, we crossed a boundary of pride. For that fell serpent had the guile to say, 'The day you eat this, you will be like gods.' In that place where your lady went for Virgil, I missed seeing the sun's trail 4,300 times after I spent more than 900 years alive to see it sail from point to point, lighting the zodiac in its due order, which can never fail to be fulfilled, for always it comes back while men can see. As for the tongue I spoke, it died before the race of Nimrod gave their minds to the Babelic tower that broke. A project no amount of hope could save, for nothing human reason makes endures forever, since all human tastes must change according to the stars. Nature ensures that men shall speak, but neither is it strange that how they speak will switch this way and that, as human pleasure, nature's gift, dictates. Even before I went down to hell's vat of pain, the good supreme that radiates the endless joy that swathes me now was named, on earth, in several ways, and that was fit, for human usage can no more be blamed for changing than a leaf, which does not sit forever on its branch, but falls, and grows again, another one to match the last. In Eden, on the soaring mount that knows no hindrance as it rises unsurpassed out of the sea, I lived, first pure, and then, ridden with guilt, from dawn till just past noon, for 7 hours. The very moment when the sun changed quadrants, it was all too soon. I left that garden, knowing shame and fear, then exile, death, and hell. Now, I am here. Canto 27. Glory, all paradise began to sing, to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The sweet song held me spellbound. I saw everything in all creation smile. My joy complete came into me by hearing and by sight. The thrill, the gladness, more than I can say, the life fulfilled with love, peace, and delight. The riches held secure and there to stay, more than the soul could crave, try as it might. Before me the four torches stood aflame. The one that had come first grew still more bright, though in its aspect it became the same as Jupiter would be if it and Mars were birds exchanging plumage. Providence, which here rules time and duty and the stars, reduced the holy chorus to silence on every side, whereat I heard, "If I change color, do not marvel. While I speak, you'll see them all do that, and here is why. It is the way that shame will flood a cheek. He that on earth usurps my place, my place, my place, which now is empty in the view of God's Son, turns my tomb to a disgrace, a sewer of blood and muck, a comfort to the twisted one who fell from here and now down there lives well." I saw the color of the sunrise and the sunset clouds endow with earthly red light all the world above,